Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Guardian Angels. I don't know about you, but when I was a child and I saw these pictures of little angels, I used to think about how many I had, and then I found out that I had one, and that one was always very good. I didn't need a whole lot. I just needed one to guard me, to guide me. And I remember the prayers that I prayed when I was very, very little. And it's always stayed in my mind that my Father, who is in heaven, my Father God, God the Father, that my Father protects his own, that my Father cares for his own. And so that my Father provides, my Heavenly Father provides for us. And I want to read you something that Magnificat magazine has on this point, but I also want to make another very personal point at the conclusion of it. Popular piety encompasses many forms of devotion to the guardian angels. St. Basil the Great, he lived in the year around 300s, taught that each and every member of the faithful has a guardian angel to protect, guard, and guide them through life. The ancient teaching was consolidated by biblical and patristic sources and lies behind many forms of piety. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, 1153, was a great master and a notable promoter of devotion to the guardian angels. For him, they were a proof that heaven denies us nothing that assists us, and hence these celestial spirits have been placed at our sides to protect us, instruct us, and to guide us. I remember praying often to my guardian angel, stay with me, walk with me, help me. I was just a very small child. I didn't know much, but I liked that idea. Now, the fact that I like the idea doesn't make it real, but so I read to these. It's part of the tradition, part of the history, as well as the sources from the Bible that show us that God in every way, wants us to be assured that he loves us and that he knows our need. Doesn't mean he saves us from everything. Things happen to us in life, and they happen. God allows them because he can bring great good out of them. But there are also so many, many ways that he protects us. In fact, I remember one time when I was much younger, I was walking across the street and I simply did not see this truck that was coming from my right side. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it. And suddenly I hear this screech of brakes and not touching my clothing, but very close, was this truck. And I was so startled, and so was he. He got out. He said, "Are you all right?" I said, "I'm fine. I didn't hear you. I didn't see you." I was stunned. I must have been preoccupied in some way. But I remember that incident, and I remember the fact that I think my guardian angel's wing was between me and the bumper of that truck. It may not have been, but it was something that solidified God's presence in my life, God's care in my life, his provision to me. Look with the eyes of faith at instances that happen in your life. You don't have to go searching for them and that you have to have one, but there are many times I think, I've seen children rescued from drowning. I've seen all kinds of things that I feel like this couldn't have happened without some kind of heavenly help. And I think our guardian angels, frankly, work overtime a lot. O God, who in your unfathomable providence are pleased to send your holy angels to guard us, hear our supplication as we cry to you, that we may always be defended by their protection and rejoice eternally in their company. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. If you used to have a devotion to the angels, or you used to have a devotion especially to your guardian angel, revive it. Revive it. just not something you need to do, but something I just encourage you to do. Reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verses 20 to 23. Thus says the Lord, see, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Be attentive to him and heed his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your sin. My authority resides in him. If you heed his voice and carry out all I tell you, I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. My angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. God takes care of his people. Anyone who can be redeemed, anyone who will repent, he will save anyone. Do you believe that he is there for you? Do you believe that he is your good shepherd, to use another analogy, the one I love? Do you believe that he sends his angels, as he says here, to guard you, to keep you safe? Psalm 91, the Lord has put angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will rescue you from the snare of the fowler, from the destroying pestilence. With his pinions he will cover you. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His faithfulness is a buckler and a shield. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that roams in darkness, nor the devastating plague at noon. No evil shall befall you, nor shall affliction come near your tent. For to his angels he has given command about you, that they guard you in all your ways. What a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Just say to the Lord, Lord, whatever you want me to have, whatever you want me to use of your gifts, I want them. I desire them. Lead me, guide me, show me. And the gospel for the guardian angels today is taken from the gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 10. The disciples approached Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Disciples are always wanting to know. They ask the questions we want to ask but don't, because we know a little better. We've got all of Revelation in front of us. But in this case, the disciples approached Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child over. He placed it in their midst. And he said, amen, I say to you, unless you turn, you, that's you and me, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It means that as a child, become like a child knows that the child doesn't know. The child understands that he doesn't have what it takes to live in this world. And so as he begins to mature a little bit, mommy, tell me this. Daddy, show me that. Help me. Teach me. Children will say that. When they have good parents and they know they can say that, they know they can ask, they know they'll get answers. Well, brothers and sisters, that's how we need to be with Jesus. Lord, teach me, show me, help me, send your angels to protect me, guide me, defend me. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our midst. Come, my guardian angel. Come, the angels of heaven, when you find yourself in a great battle. Might be at work, it might be in the church, your parish circumstances. Lord, send your angels to go before us. Send your angels to surround us and protect us. God loves to hear us crying out to him, calling for help from all the sources that he has for us. And then Jesus says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That is, I ask for help. I ask for guidance. I ask for direction. I ask. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. if you see that kind of simplicity and that kind of dependence on God in others, welcome it. Not, oh my, she's religious or she's naive or she's acting like a child or whatever. Just ignore that. Because whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Now, there's something very important here that we need to draw. Jesus said in that first sentence there, he said, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. We reject them, we ignore them, we may even, God forbid, wound them, hurt them, harm them. Every child of God has a heavenly Father. And that Father loves his children, and that Father will punish those who hurt his children. Pay heed, brothers and sisters, pay heed. There is an abbot of a monastery in England who said this about the guardian angels. We must start with the assumption that the human race has fared as it has fared up to now precisely because it has been under the tutelage of spirits, a tutelage which is constant, all-pervading, the most permanent element in the preservation of the human race. We might say, to make this point quite clear, that if the human race had not possessed the spirit tutelage, its history would have been very different from what it has been. And it would have been infinitely more dismal, though we cannot indicate the facts and events directly attributable to the spirits that watch over man. And what is said of the race is true of every individual human being. We must simply say that this life is what it is because he has been given at his birth into the keeping of an angel. Prayer to the angels is, of course, an act of piety, much to be commended and most fruitful, for it is in our power to make use of that great tutelage to an extent which varies according to each man's goodwill. Just as prayer to God in another sphere makes the divine majesty more and more propitious, though it could not be said that God would have no thought of man unless man prayed, there is a providence on the part of God which is absolute and independent of man's goodwill. In the same sense, there is a spiritual tutelage of the human race and of every individual being which transcends the vacillation of man's ethical state. The race is kept from destruction and internal dissolution for God's own purposes. We might almost say, in spite of itself. There are many ways, brothers and sisters, in which we are our own worst enemies, and we've all heard that expression. God sent his angels to guard us in all our ways. When you're in difficulty, as I can be, often lost. I'm driving somewhere and I'm just not quite sure of the direction. One of the people I turn to is my guardian angel. Help me, guide me, lead me. May the angels become more and more part of your life and your prayer, and may you receive all the blessing that God wants you to have. God bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.